How's everyone today? How many didn't want to be here today and you forced yourself? Let's be honest. All right. But that's part of walking with God, is not necessarily living by our emotions. It's okay to live by them when you're little, like whoever did that right there. Where is that little one? Praise God for the little ones. But it's a whole nother ball game when you keep pace. You know, we're going to start this new series. We have baptism today. That's an awesome thing. A couple people are going to get baptized, so you guys can be part of this. They'll share their testimony, but you know, that's really when you make that step. If anybody in here has received the Lord but have never been baptized, that's a major step. It's a spiritual something that happens empowering wise in baptism, and it's also a public demonstration of a inward change and an inward belief, and it's important because Jesus commanded us to do it. So if you are that person, we're doing it at 11 too. So you might want to run home after church, get your bathing suit, and come on back. But we have a few people that will be doing it towards the end of the service. I'm going to share the message for the first part. And we're going to be taking a look for the next number of weeks on some of the I am statements of Jesus. He made the statement that is one of the most powerful statements he ever said, was in John 8:12, in the beginning of that verse, when he said this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light." So I want to get that in perspective for us a little bit. Because when we think of light, we think of the sun. You know, that's the brightest light in our existence in the natural world. We've been taught that the sun is the center of our solar system, and thus it is the light of the world. Some figures I'm going to give you that reveal the sun's brightness and its greatness as being the light of our solar system. For instance, the sun is the most important feature in our solar system. It is the largest object and contains approximately 98% of the total solar system mass. So when you look at our solar system, which revolves around, used to be 9 planets, but that's our solar system. The 9 planets and the sun considered our solar system. When you look at that system, the sun's mass takes up 98%. Of the total volume of that space. In fact, the sun is so deep, you can fit 1.3 million Earths in it. You can fit, 109 Earths across its surface and 1.3 million in its depth. The outside temperature of the sun is about 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Its solar, its heat is produced about 10,000 miles into the sun. That's where we get the amazing heat that we feel. That heat generates and shoots up hundreds of thousands of miles. That's why if you ever get a telescope that can look at the sun, it's very mottled, because there's constant eruptions, and those eruptions are traveling hundreds of thousands of miles in the air. And they start 10,000 miles into the sun. It is an incredible, incredible star. Its output of energy, for you car enthusiasts, its output of energy is 70,000 horsepower per square yard per minute. So every square yard, it releases 70,000 horsepower of energy per minute. The sun is located 93 million miles from the earth. If a baby, you take a newborn infant, I got an echo in here. Sounds great though, I love it. Because at this point in my life, I don't know what's going on. So echo is great too. But it's 93 million miles away from the earth. If a baby at its birth would start traveling toward the sun at 150 miles an hour, it would reach the sun when it was 71 years old. It's a massive, it's very far from us. Every second, 5 million tons of pure energy is released into the solar system by the sun. It takes 8 minutes or so for sunlight to reach the earth. So the light you feel when you see the sunlight out there, it left the sun 8 minutes ago, traveling at the speed of light. Now, in spite of all this amazing greatness that the sun, the light in the natural world of our world, is, God says he is the light of the world. He is even greater than that. In fact, every place in Scripture that mentions an appearance of God or speaks of his glory always speaks of bright light. Light so intense they couldn't see it. When Moses was hidden in the cave and God said, I'm going to go by, but I'm going to let you see my glory. What he is saying is, I am going to let you see my brightness. But it is so intense that you will have to shield it and look through it from the cave. And as I pass by, you'll just see the back of me. When the Lord transfigured in the Gospels and actually shone himself in his heavenly glory, they said he was white, like light, the brightest light they had ever seen. And everyone that came in contact with the glory of God, when he would reveal his light, they were always petrified. The second aspect of God's overwhelming glory is the presence. Not only, it's almost like us, imagine ourselves being close to the sun. The presence of that, or on a very hot day, when you step outside in the rays of the sun, the presence of the sun is overpowering. The Lord is far, a million times more overpowering than that. People would literally fall. That's why in the Old Testament it says, if you saw the glory of God, no man could stand it. So even in the revealing, whenever God did reveal himself to men, he still cloaked his glory to his brightness to some degree. It's amazing. And he says, I am the light of the world. I made the sun. I'm brighter than that. In John 1:1, we're told this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and he was with God, speaking of Jesus being the Word, in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. He made the sun of our solar system. And compared to him, it's a little candle. He says, without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That is different. He says, listen, the light of mankind, the light that lights up you and I, is God himself. He gave the sun to light up the world, to light up the solar system. He gave the stars as guiding us at night. He gave all those types of lights. But the only light that lights us up and gives us ability and life is Jesus himself. It says, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. He is life. So some of us in here have received that light. And once we have that life, life starts to change for us. Light has many qualities. And I'm going to share a few of those with you. And let's just take a look again at John 8:12, when he said this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever, world is plural. I am the light of everyone in the world. And he says, whoever, singular, follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, it always amazes me when people say about Jesus, especially people that, you know, have a belief about religion and a belief about Christianity, saying Jesus never called himself God. Jesus never called himself, you know, a supreme being. Listen, just read them John 8 and then go to John 1 and the verses I just shared with you. He was calling himself life. He was calling himself the creator of all that is. He called himself God. It's an amazing thing. So, here's a question to ask yourself. Does Jesus Christ have as great an influence on your life as the light of the sun has on the earth? Does he have that kind of influence on your life? Is he the light of your life? You know, it's interesting to me that when night comes, when storms are raging, when it's cloudy outside, we never doubt the sun's coming back. Do you ever lay at night in a stormy night and go, I wonder if the sun disappeared forever? We don't. We know that in the midst of the storm, the sun is still there. The sun is still doing its thing. The sun will come out. But when it comes to God sometimes, we wonder if the sun is ever going to shine again. Is God still the light? Is God still in charge? So let's examine a couple traits of light. First of all, light is meant to be seen. It reveals. Light reveals truth. The light of God reveals the truth about yourselves, about ourselves. Anybody notice that about when you start walking with God? All of a sudden you start seeing things about yourself that you didn't think were there? I remember when I got saved. I got saved for one reason. God, get me off dope. God, help me get off dope. He goes, oh, we're just starting. Thank God he's systematic in how he deals with us. Then he started to show, you know, Joe, you're super selfish. And kind of lazy, too. And your pride. You got nothing, but you think you're a big deal. That was always one of the amazing things to me when I worked at the mission and dealt so much with the homeless, is that some of the pride knows no economic situation. Pride knows nothing about any of that kind of stuff. These guys would come in with nothing, asking us to help them change their lives, but their pride was still way up here. And it was amazing to me how pride worked and how you and I can be so darkened in our understanding of ourselves. First thing light does is it reveals truth. It shows what's really going on. As long as I don't look under my bed, it looks good. I shine a light under there, oh my God. It's amazing what's under there. Mark 4:32 says this, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. He says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He says, I'm speaking a truth to you here. that the light of the world, Jesus, reveals things in us that are deep and secret and hidden, not to shame us. That's one of the reasons we hide it, is because of our shame. He reveals it so it can be dealt with and overcome. You know, life needs light. Things in dark, if an animal lives in the dark all the time, it distorts its natural being. We need light to live. We need God's light to shine in us. And it's our own dark understanding that finds light repulsive. And that's another attribute of light. Second one is light can be repulsive. How many know that? How about when somebody shines a light on you? You know, the way you just, your tone is just so demeaning. Well, we get so offended. See, God not only is light himself and shines in us, but we also shine on each other. And sometimes we need, there's no better shining than someone that you're married to. They can shine on you. They are like a reflection. And that's one of the reasons marriages collapse so often, is because one of the parties is not, sometimes both parties are not receptive to having light shined on them. And that's pride, and that's an issue. If you turn over a log in the woods, what happens to the bugs underneath? They run. The light is repulsive to them. They function in dark. And it's not because they fear us. It's because they design themselves. They cover themselves in darkness, just like we do. God is not content for you to be a child of the light, yet have massive darkness working in you. He will reveal it. And if we run, you ever notice when God is trying to do something in your life and you're repulsing that, no matter where you run to, you run right into it. How many of us have quit jobs because of the people? We never learned to overcome and deal with them, and we find ourselves in another job with those kind of people. Those things repeat themselves until we learn to deal with them according to the light. In him was life. The third, this is the verdict, it tells us in John 3:19. This is the verdict. This is God's verdict on mankind. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. When you're doing evil thing, the last thing you want is for it to be revealed. You do not want that until you're ready to change. One of the beautiful things I love in recovery is we get tired of living multiple lives, because this is what you have to do. When I lived a double life, I actually lived like a triple, quadruple life. I was different people to different groups, to different situations. And when I was with this group, the light I revealed there was the light that worked. And this group was in the dark. And then this group didn't know. When I was with my family, I was Joe Family Man. That's what made my wife so sick. She saw it. Teresa would look at me and go, "You make me sick." Choose a life and live it. Quit talk. Because I was that guy. I don't know about you guys. I was that guy that would talk about Jesus. Not really Jesus, but God, spirituality, and all that. I like Jesus. I just didn't like Christians or anything else to do with it, Jesus. And I thought I knew like what his word meant, because I just thought I did. And without really investigating it, I just had opinions about it. But I would live in such a manner that I'd be high as a kite talking about God. I ruined everybody's high. I was living the criminal life, trying to act like I wasn't, you know, and it just was insanity, and light repulsed me. Ever wonder? I was sharing with someone the other day, even in my dark days, I could give amazing counsel. I could give outstanding counsel to people. But I couldn't live it at all. I could not, you know, I could not apply it to my life because I would not let that light shine in me. It was, there was this dark thing going on. He says, listen, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth, allows the light to reveal what's really going on, comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. That's why testimonies are beautiful. I was this way. God came into my life and this has changed. But you know what? Your testimony is ongoing. Your testimony doesn't stop when you come to Jesus. You're in a testimony right now. I'm walking a testimony right now. I'm walking the testimony of sorrow. I asked Bob to look to find me the scripture. I thought it was in Isaiah, but it was in Isaiah 53 where it says that Jesus was familiar with sorrow. And I was thinking about that the other day, and it's like, you know what? I am familiar with sorrow. It is a part of my... I told Therese last night, yesterday, it was the two-year-old's birthday, and we had a birthday party for him. And I'm just so sad. I love the boys. I love those boys, but I'm so sad. And there's just a sadness, a profound sadness. And it's not like buck up and get out of it. It's like, I'm sad. And I'm not asking you to heal it. I'm just saying, this is my testimony in this season of my life that I am walking through as you are walking through the season of your life now. It's part of your testimony. We are being transformed into Jesus. Well, Scripture tells us in Isaiah 53 that he was a man familiar with sorrow. Huh. So that means some of us at certain levels are going to be familiar with sorrow. I get it. I get it today in a whole new way. I didn't want to be here today. I just did, but I had committed to being here. I'm glad I'm here, but you know what? See, part of my testimony, and I was sharing this with my niece yesterday, is she's young Christian, well, young in age. This is pretty trippy, too. We're with my daughter and all her friends that have two-year-old kids, and then there's Therese and me. It's like, and they're all CrossFitters, so it's like, just pile it on. They're popping up and down like it ain't no big deal. And, you know, it's just mind-blowing to me. I look at her and I go, But I was talking to my niece and she goes, well, you know, how are you doing this? I said, you know what I've learned, and I'm still learning in this part of my testimony, is... when you're young, I just see the parallel so much in the natural and the supernatural. I've seen it for many years, but now I see it even more clearly, is that, you know, when you're young, you go to school. And there was that season in my life, long season, devotional, studying the Word, praying every morning. I had a list of things I'd pray for every morning. I had a chair that I'd sit out on. And there was all this learning and inputting going into my life, and it was a beautiful season. My kids were young. I was fresh in the Lord. I had some light poured onto me from God. And I had an aspect of light. And you know, oftentimes when you're young, you're almost like that 13-year-old that knows everything. God works this way. And he does it like this, and that's the way he does it, and people need to get on board with that. Now it's like God does it this way or any other way he wants to. Because he does. If you're saying, oh, Joe, that ain't right, whatever. Hang on. More light will be revealed. More light will be revealed. And I was telling my niece this. I was saying, you know, now in my life, minimal. In this journey of my life, minimal. Minimal. Now I'm just walking with Jesus, asking him all the time, Jesus, help me. And just going through trying to be a good papa. Trying to understand these little kids and their trauma and they're damaged. And seeing life in a different way with kids that are really orphans. And, you know, and trying to gently mold them and start this new thing in their lives. I was telling Chris earlier that we took the two-year-old. See, this I'm sharing this with you because it's light that's being poured into me in seeing reality in ways I had not yet needed to experience. Well, my grandson got cancer at two, my oldest grandson, and we went into Chalk Hospital. And he was in that hospital for weeks upon weeks and almost died. And he recovered, thank God. And I saw a light was poured on me in a new world of pain. And a new world of parents hearing them down the hall when their child, man, that's a tough ministry there. And when their child would die. And you know, just experiencing that and seeing that world. It opened me up to a world that I was unfamiliar with, but yet it's light. That's part of what we're living in. And I was the two-year-old we took to counsel the other day. We weren't going to do it, but we figured, he needs it because he's improved a lot. He was in strictly panic mode for the first month we had him. And any of you that have dealt with kids from other, you know, from traumatized situations, that I had no idea. I thought I knew what it was. I deal with adults a lot, but I had no idea. It's a whole new world. And this little guy, in play therapy, they call it, the therapist kind of talks a little bit, and they play, and they do whatever the kid wants to do. Well, he took Cars, and Teresa actually filmed it, and she's going to use it for her training, so we should have got a discount or something, but but anyways, he lined up some cars in a row, and then he took a number of cars and put them all over the place. And what that signified, that his life was moving, and then all of a sudden now all these other people are in it. And then he was sitting on the in front of that as he lined them up, and he took two cars and he was smashing them together. And then he pushed one over to the side and the other one over to the side, and he just sat there. And you could see his demeanor go sad. And then he got up after a minute, 2 minutes, I don't know exactly how long. He got up and he went over and they have this little tub of water that's about yay deep. And it's a table, it's got some plastic fish in it and different things. And he started playing with the water. And the therapist said, that's calming to his spirit. Water calms. Just like when we go to the beach, there is a calmness and peace when we're around bodies of water. The pain was too intense for him, even at 2 years old, that he had to get up and leave it. And then she said he came back and sat there again in front of it and looked at it and looked at it and looked at it and then got up and hugged the therapist. And she was amazed, saying he's made such great progress in a short period of time. That's light. That's light. See, God's revealing. If he's going to make us more like Jesus, we're going to see the world as Jesus sees it. We're going to see pain and suffering. Some of it we will endure. Some of it we will observe. Some of it, I don't know. God's got, you know, everybody, God's revealing and working in each person's life the way it is. And so our job is to walk, and this is where I'm at in my walk, to walk in the light that's revealed to me. You know, there, and just like getting older, everyone in here that's done with school, you're not going back studying anymore. That's deep in you. You know how to write your name. You know how to do basic math. But once that's in you, it's in you. It stays there. Then what happens is it is drawn out as needed. There's always more to learn. Now I'm drawing on different things I've always heard about Jesus. Like when Paul says, you know, I want to suffer like Jesus. I always said, you know, that's like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But see, we don't get a choice in that. I mean, we all have different things we deal with. The light of God is bright and it starts to work in our lives. The third way light affects us is that it causes growth. And that's all that I've been sharing with you in these last couple minutes, is I'm growing in ways I never thought I'd grow, or I need to grow, or I'd have to grow. And you know, most growth takes place when you don't want it. You ever notice that? You never wake up and go, you know what? I need to learn to persevere. I could use a great trial right now. Kind of thinking about myself, and persevering is an issue I want to work on. Lord, bring me a trial. We are up all the time saying, oh God, take this trial away. Oh God, hey, light causes growth. It causes change. Light is good. James 5:16, a beautiful verse, tells us this: confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or person is powerful and effective. Sin is simply falling short. My faith has fallen short. You may think, you know, wow, Joe, you're handling it well. I'm not handling it well. I'm just handling it. I don't even know what well means. What does well mean? What does that look like? I'm handling it and trying not to be a jerk. That to me is handling it well. I'm handling it well and trying to keep my feet moving. That's handling it. I don't know what else to do. I don't know. So I see myself fall short. You know, I remember in the story of Job. I guess you guys are going to get my ongoing testimony for the next few times I preach. You know, I've learned so, I know so little. God, I know so little. I know a lot about the Word. I thought I did. But the depth of it, you don't know the depth of the Word until you have to walk it out. And you all do. You know, I'm just sharing my story. You all have to walk out your depth too. And nobody knows the pain of another person until that person tells you. And sometimes in Christianity, we hide that. You know, we smile at each other, but we don't know till we know. You know, in Job, Job said this, you know, his wife comes up to Job in the midst of his trauma and says, you know, why don't you just curse God and die? And it's like, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I said, wow, I haven't cursed God either. I've cursed, of course, because it doesn't say he didn't curse. She said, why don't you just curse God? Which implies that he was cursing other things. See that depth of understanding? That's just come to me recently. I get it. I get it. Because my mouth has gone back 30 years, at least in my mind. You know, it's like, wow. Fourth thing is this: light affects us in that it gives reassurance. Like the light of the sun, which warms us, creating a place of peace. Jesus, the light, brings us to a place of peace. We gain peace and we get reassured. See, when the light is on in here, I have reassurance of where the steps are. And I'll tell you what, I've walked in this building many a time when there's not a light on at night and there's no lights coming from anywhere. It is dark. And I'm like this, coming out of my office, I think. And you know me. No, maybe you don't. But I'm one of those guys that I don't need to turn on the light. I know where it's at. And then I'm going like this, feeling for the step. Light gives reassurance to us. It allows us to see, and therefore, when we see, we can be at peace. When I see the kids running around, I'm at peace. Light enables that to happen. So that's the part of God that gives us peace in the midst of life, that we can see something. The hardest time of walking with God is when the storms block out the light. The troubles block out the light. The clouds block out the light, and we can't see. That's where faith is exercised, because I know the light is there. He hasn't left. He hasn't left. But I can't see what's going on. And I love it where it tells us in the psalm that when you're walking in the light, be great. When you're walking in darkness, keep walking the path. Because our tendency is to want to stop walking it. We keep walking. Doesn't mean we don't get rest. Doesn't mean, you know, the board here has given me great freedom to take what it takes for it to take what it takes. And so I just thank them. I see Kai here. I don't know if anybody else is here, but thank you so much for that blessing. And I get to ease in to this new life. But not only that, it tells us this in Psalm 119, 105, your word, the word of God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's light is individual, that he gives me enough light all the time to know where to step next. And you know, sometimes the light stops and you just got to stand in that thing. He says his word, he's not left, but he's a light to our path. A path. That's it doesn't say a light to our highway. A path is something that you have to be careful as you navigate it. It's usually, you know, think of a path going in the woods or something. You want to stay on it. There are ways to get lost from it. He says it's a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. It's just enough to show us the direction we need to go. That's amazing to me. But not only this, Jesus says something else about this light. In Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world. And I've shared it with you guys before. There's no higher compliment than God can give his people than to say they're the light of the world. Just as he is the light, we are lights. You are a light to a world of darkness around you. That's why God will take us and put us in all kinds of different situations. Some people think, like, if you're not in ministry, this is a crazy thought, but if you're not in ministry or doing ministry like Jesus things, God's not really using you. Yeah, he is. You're the light. Your life is a light where you're at in the world you are in. You are a little light in their darkness. And even when you don't want to be, because how many people like to cover our light? How many people your friends at work don't even know you're a Christian? Anybody? Yeah. Raise your hand so we can shame you. Like a good church service ought to. You're a light. You're the light of the world. And then he says, all of us, we're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. It cannot be hidden. You cannot hide. All of us. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, say everyone in your house. Now, you're a light, but you're not. You're really the lamp. The lamp is lit by somebody else. You know, in the Romans, it's not such a big deal for us because we have electricity. But in countries that don't have electricity, a light is super important. So what do? They keep the light lit all the time. And during the day, they take that light and they usually have a number of lanterns. They have some kind of oil, some kind of fuel. They take one lamp when this one's running low or the candle's running low, whatever it is, their source of fuel is running low. They light another one. And then they take that and during the day, they keep it under some kind of a structure that keeps the light protected until they need it. Well, that's what God does in our life. He's working on us. He's keeping us lit. The Holy Spirit is the fuel. And so they would light that, and then they'd fill up the other lamp. So the light is already. He says a light or a lamp is meant to be lit. It's meant to light up the house. So sometimes we're going to be kind of hidden away, and sometimes we will be exposed. But bottom line is, you and I are the light of this world. You are the light in the world you live. Part of what my job is to teach you how God does what he does. And it's not only turn to this verse. It's also to teach you by my own life how we walk it out. Just like parents teach their children by their mouth and by their actions. And that's what's messed up so many of us, is the teaching we got with the mouth was way different than we saw being walked out. And I'll tell you what you do speaks far louder than what you say. If you're not practicing what you preach, then only preach what you practice. That light shine. Don't tell your, you know, and this is another thing I want to share with you guys about emotion. You cannot be spiritually mature and emotionally immature. Your spiritual walk is in parallel. Well, that's not parallel. What is this when they're together? In sync. Okay, let's just use that word. And immediately I think of the band because it was my favorite band growing up. Just kidding. But your spiritual life or spiritual maturity is in line with your emotional maturity. If you're out of control emotionally, your spiritual life is probably out of control too. There is no such thing as I'm super mature spiritually, and yet everything around me is a nightmare relationally because of my emotions. Can't be. That's, you're not looking at the light. The light's, something's wrong with that light. So, as you grow, what we need to understand is that you're a lamp that's lit, and God will give you brighter light, warmer light over time. You know, there's a principle at work. It's called the more light principle. And Paul speaks of this. Well, first of all, Jesus speaks of it in Luke 8, verse 16. The light you have is meant to become brighter, more efficient, more effective over time. That's part of what God adds. He wants our light to grow. Does everybody understand that? And the beautiful thing is it takes time for that to happen. Listen, Paul, Lord says this, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. So he's talking about a little light, little nightstand light. He goes, that's what it's for. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully how the fuel is put in. Whoever has will be given more. You use efficiently, effectively the light you have, God will add light to that. He will make it brighter. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. He says, listen, there's a principle here. Use what you have well, right now where you're at. Right now, I have light in my life up to this point. The light now that I'm walking in, I have to use it effectively and efficiently. And God will add to it. How he's going to add to it, what he's going to do, I have no idea. At this part of my walk, I don't care. I've gotten a big I don't care about life. In the sense of God's in charge, my faith is more solid than it's ever been. I know he's in charge. I know he's in charge. I always thought him and me were in charge. Now I realize we're not. He's in charge. So what, something's happening over here? Well, he's in charge. I can throw out a prayer. I can say what I want to say. He's in charge. He's going to work it out. Over here, he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. How? I have no idea. I'm barely got the light on my path. He didn't say, nowhere in Scripture he says, and not only, he says it'll light this part. We just read it. It'll light that part. It'll light the room you're in. It'll light where you're at. It'll light. Nowhere in the thing does he say, you got that monster spotlight. We think it's our job. Brother, I need to share something with you. It's not my job to be the. He says, Joe, I didn't give you a spotlight. He says, Joe, I'm giving you enough light to walk the path you got to walk. And this is what Paul says late in his ministry in Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already attained all this. Hey, you know what? You guys that are getting baptized, you might want to go change because we're going to run up here. Big step of your next walk in God is being that light by being baptized. But he says this, Paul says this, not that I've already obtained all this. This is a guy that's walked with the Lord, I don't know, close to 30 years at this point in time. He says, not that I've already obtained all these things, which means possess it, or have already been made perfect, reached perfection. He says, but I press on. What does press on mean? To intentionally move forward. I get it. Today in my life, I'm intentionally moving forward. Intentionally. Because I don't want to. There are times I don't want to. But I have learned through long process of walking with God, you oftentimes do what you don't want to do. Some of you are going to be doing that tonight. You're going to be intentionally pressing through to go to work tomorrow. You have no desire in your heart to go to work tomorrow. But you're going to press on and do that. He says, listen, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, I'm going to push on to see what God is doing. Why did he take hold of me? What's going on? I'm just going to keep pushing. He says, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting, not living like I used to, is what it means, what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Goes, listen, I didn't forget in the sense of, geez, what did I do before? That's called dementia. He didn't say we were doing that. He says, I am forgetting how I used to live and pushing forward. Because how many times do we rehearse what we used to live? Relive it. Relive it. Relive it. I'm going to push forward. Because we can get stuck there. I've been stuck in hours at a time in these last couple months rehearsing the last month of my daughter's life and Therese being there and me being there for a week and then the phone call and rehearsing what could we have done different? What could, you know? And some of us spend decades rehearsing past life stuff and not moving forward. It's like, you know what? It is what it is. And there's something more. Because I can't, you can't change nothing in the past. Don't you wish you could? Don't you wish you could? But you can't. He says, listen, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I know there's a prize. I know there's something God's got, and I'm going to press toward it till I get it. Well, the prize is life eternal and in union with God and in union with others. I'm pushing forward. I still got a job to do here. You still got a job to do here. All of us, he says in verse 15, who are mature should take such a view of things, should think like this. Oh, I'm going to press forward. And if on some point you think differently, That too God will make clear to you. He'll shine more light on that. Yes. Only do this, he says. Let us live up to what we have already obtained. Just live up to what you've already... What you have light-wise, live up to that. Amen? Amen? Okay, so here's what your job to do right now is we're going to cheer these guys on. We're going to change. Chris, let's change. I hate getting in a bathing suit next to that dude. Try to not let your light shine so much up there, okay? Only let us live up to what you have attained. How many have attained some things in God? Live up to them. Live up to them. Live up to that. I have attained trusting God. I'm going to live up to trusting God. I'm going to live up to faith. I feel better. Thank you for letting me vent on you. And I hope you got something out of this. Because, you know, you don't need to clap. I just hope you got something out of it. You know, because your light, my light, all I got right now is my light now. Living on my past glories of light, whatever those were, or whatever I thought they were, it means nothing now. You're the people, and my family, and my extended family are the ones that I get to live light, be a light in front of, my friends. And I'm no different than you. You get to live that same thing in your world. Whatever that means at this point in time, where you have got to at this point in time, only live up to it. If you're a husband, be a good light. If you're a wife, be a good wife. If you're single, be good single. If you work, be a great employee. If you're an employer, be a great employer. If your thing is to be sober, be sober. Be sober. Quit making the excuses. Do it. You only got to do it today. All I got, every day I wake up and this is what I say to myself. Do a good job today, Joe. I know you, Joe. You're prone to messing up the day. Do a good job today. Then I get up. That's my prayer to God. That's my devotion. Amen? How many want to have that devotion? All right, these guys are getting baptized. That's a good day for them. We're going down to the river. All right, see you guys.